Chapter 3. Well, I am not going to eat any of it. Said Swithin decisively, as he rose from the table, pushed away his chair, and went upstairs. The other station of life that was in his blood, and which had been brought out by the grammar school, probably stimulating him. Ah, the world is an ungrateful place. 'Twas a pity I didn't take my poor name off this earthly calendar and creep underground 60 long years ago, instead of leaving my own county to come here. Mourned old Mrs. Martin. But I told his mother how 'twould be marrying so many notches above her. The child was sure to chaw high, like his father. When Swithin had been upstairs a minute or two, however, he altered his mind, and coming down again ate all the pudding, with the aspect of a person undertaking a deed of great magnanimity. The relish with which he did so restored the unison, that knew no more serious interruptions than such as this. Mr. Torkingham has been here this afternoon, said his grandmother. And he wants me to let him meet some of the choir here tonight for practice. They who live at this end of the parish won't go to his house to try over the tunes, because 'tis so far, they say, and so 'tis, poor men. So he's going to see what coming to them will do. He asks if he would like to join. I would, if I had not so much to do. But it is cloudy tonight. Yes, but I have calculations without end, Granny. Now, don't you tell him I'm in the house, will you? And then he'll not ask for me. But if he should, must I then tell a lie, Lord forgive me? No, you can say I'm upstairs. He must think what he likes. Not a word about the astronomy to any of them, whatever you do. I should be called a visionary, and all sorts. So thou beast, child. Why can't he do something that's of use? At the sound of footsteps Swithin beat a hasty retreat upstairs, where he struck a light, and revealed a table covered with books and papers, while round the walls hung star maps, and other diagrams illustrative of celestial phenomena. In a corner stood a huge pasteboard tube, which a close inspection would have shown to be intended for a telescope. Swithin hung a thick cloth over the window, in addition to the curtains, and sat down to his papers. On the ceiling was a black stain of smoke, and under this, he placed his lamp, evidencing that the midnight oil was consumed on that precise spot very often. Meanwhile, there had entered to the room below a personage who, to judge from her voice and the quick pit-pat of her feet, was a maiden young and blithe. Mrs. Martin welcomed her by the title of Miss Tabitha Lark, and inquired what wind had brought her that way, to which the visitor replied that as he had come for the singing. Sit ye down, then, said Granny. And do you still go to the house to read to my lady? Yes, I go and read, Mrs. Martin. But as to getting my lady to hearken, that's more than a team of six horses could force her to do. The girl had a remarkably smart and fluent utterance, which was probably a cause, or a consequence, of her vocation. 'Tis the same story, then? Said Grandmother Martin. Yes. Eaten out with listlessness. She's neither sick nor sorry, but how dull and dreary she is, only herself can tell. When I get there in the morning, there she is sitting up in bed, for my lady don't care to get up, and then she makes me bring this book and that book, till the bed is heaped up with immense volumes that half bury her, making her look, as she leans upon her elbow, like the stoning of Stephen. She yawns, then she looks towards the tall glass, then she looks out at the weather, mooning her great black eyes, and fixing them on the sky, as if they stuck there, while my tongue goes flick-flack along, 150 words a minute. Then she looks at the clock. Then she asks me what I've been reading. Poor soul. ... said Granny. No doubt she says in the morning, would God it were evening, and in the evening, would God it were morning, like the disobedient woman in Deuteronomy. ... Swithin, in the room overhead, had suspended his calculations, for the duologue interested him. There now crunched heavier steps outside the door, and his grandmother could be heard greeting sundry local representatives of the bass and tenor voice, who lent a cheerful and well-known personality to the names Sammy Bloor, Nat Chapman, Hezekiah Biles, and Amos Fry, the latter being one with whom the reader has already a distant acquaintance. Besides these came small producers of treble, who had not yet developed into such distinctive units of society as to require particularizing. Is the good man come? ... asked Nat Chapman. No, I see we be here for him. And how is it with aged women tonight, Mrs. Martin? ... Tedious traipsing enough with this one, Nat. Sit thee down. Well, little Freddy, you don't wish in the morning that we're evening, and at evening, that we're morning again, do you, Freddy, trustee for it? ... Now, who might wish such a thing as that, Mrs. Martin? Nobody in this parish? ... asked Sammy Bloor curiously. My lady is always wishing it, ... spoke up Miss Tabitha Lark. Oh, she. Nobody can be answerable for the wishes of that unnatural tribe of mankind. Not but that the woman's heartstrings is tried in many aggravating ways. ... Poor woman. ... said Granny. The state she finds herself in, neither maid, wife, nor widow, as you may say, is not the primest form of life for keeping in good spirits. How long is it since she has heard from Sir Blount, Tabitha? ... 2 years and more, ... said the young woman. He went into one side of Africa, as it might be, 3 St. Martin's days back. I can mind it, because 'twas my birthday. And he meant to come out the other side. But he didn't. He has never come out at all. ... For all the world like losing a rat in a barley mow, ... said Hezekiah. He's lost, though you know where he is. ... His comrades nodded. Eh, my lady is a walking weariness. I see her yawn just at the very moment when the fox was hallowed away by Lornton Copse, and the hounds run then all but past her carriage wheels. If I were she, I'd see a little life, though there's no fair, club walking, nor feast to speak of, till Easter week, that's true. ... She dares not. She's under solemn oath to do no such thing. ... Be cussed if I would keep any such oath. But here's the passon, if my ears don't deceive me. ... There was a noise of horses' hoofs without, a stumbling against the door scraper, a tethering to the window shutter, a creaking of the door on its hinges, and a voice which Swithin recognized as Mr. Torkingham's. He greeted each of the previous arrivals by name, and stated that he was glad to see them all so punctually assembled. Eh, sir, ... said Amos Fry. 'Tis only my gents that have kept me from assembling myself long ago. I'd assemble upon the top of Welland steeple, if 'twerent for my gents. I assure ye, Passon Tarkenham, that in the clitch o' my knees, where the rain used to come through when I was cutting clots for the new lawn, in old my lady's time, 'tis as if rats was gnawing, every now and then. When a feller's young, he's too small in the brain to see how soon a constitution can be squandered, worse luck. ... True, said Biles, to fill the time, while the parson was engaged in finding the psalms. A man's a fool till he's 40. Often have I thought, when pitching, and the small of my back seeming no stouter than a harness, the devil send, that I had but the making of laboring men for a 12-month. I'd guy every man jack 2 good backbones, even if the alteration was as wrong as forgery. Apostrophe, apostrophe, four backbones, apostrophe, said Amos, decisively. Yes, four, apostrophe, threw in Sammy Bohr, with additional weight of experience. For you want one in front for breast plowing and such like, one at the right side for ground dressing, and one at the left side for turning mixins. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, then next I'd move every man's windpipe a good span away from his clutch pipe, so that at harvest time he could fetch breath in his drinking, without being choked and strangled as he is now. Thinks I, when I feel the vittles going apostrophe, now, we'll begin, apostrophe interrupted Mr. Torkingham, his mind returning to this world again on concluding his search for a hymn. Thereupon the racket of chair legs on the floor signified that they were settling into their seats, a disturbance which Swithin took advantage of by going on tiptoe across the floor above, and putting sheets of paper over knot holes in the boarding at points where carpet was lacking, that his lamplight might not shine down. The absence of a ceiling beneath rendered his position virtually that of one suspended in the same apartment. The parson announced the tune, and his voice burst forth with onward, Christian soldiers! Apostrophe, apostrophe in notes of rigid cheerfulness. In this start, however, he was joined only by the girls and boys, the men furnishing, but an accompaniment of ahas and hems. Mr. Torkingham stopped, and Sammy Bohr spoke, Beg your pardon, sir, if you'll deal mild with us a moment. What with the wind and walking, my throat's as rough as a grater, and not knowing you were going to hit up that minute, I hadn't talked, and I don't think Hezzy and Nat had either, had he, souls? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I hadn't got thorough ready, that's true, apostrophe, said Hezekiah. Quite right of you, then, to speak, apostrophe, said Mr. Torkingham. Don't mind explaining, we are here for practice. Now clear your throats, then, and at it again. Apostrophe, apostrophe, there was a noise, as of atmospheric hose and scrapers, and the bass contingent at last got underway with a time of its own. Onward, christened soldiers. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, that's where we are so defective the pronunciation. Apostrophe interrupted the parson. Now repeat after me. N-word. Christian soldiers. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the choir repeated like an exaggerative echo. Onward, Christian soldiers. Apostrophe, apostrophe, better. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the parson, in the strenuously sanguine tones of a man who got his living by discovering a bright side in things where it was not very perceptible to other people. But it should not be given with quite so extreme an accent, or we may be called affected by other parishes. And, Nathaniel Chapman, there's a jauntiness in your manner of singing which is not quite becoming. Why don't you sing more earnestly? Apostrophe, apostrophe, my conscience won't let me, sir. They say every man for himself. But, thank God, I'm not so mean as to lessen old folks' chances by being earnest at my time o' life, and they so much nearer the need ought. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it's bad reasoning, Nat, I fear. Now, perhaps we had better soul fa the tune. Eyes on your books, please. Soul, soul. Fa fa. M-I apostrophe, I can't sing like that, not I. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sammy Bohr, with condemnatory astonishment. I can sing genuine music, like F and G, but not anything so much out of the order of nature as that. Apostrophe, apostrophe, perhaps you've brought the wrong book, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, chimed in Amos, kindly. I've knowed music early in life and late, in short, ever since Luke Sneap broke his new fiddle bow in the wedding psalm, when Passon Wilton brought home his bride. You can mind the time, Sammy? When we sung his wife, like a fair fertile vine, her lovely fruit shall bring, when the young woman turned as red as a rose, not knowing 'twas coming. I've knowed music ever since then, I say, sir, and never heard the like o' that. every marble note had his name of A, B, C, at that time. Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, yes, men. But this is a more recent system. Apostrophe apostrophe, still, you can't alter a old established note that's A, or B by nadir, apostrophe rejoined Amos, with yet deeper conviction, that Mr. Torkingham was getting off his head. Now sound A, neighbor Sammy, and let's have a slap at christened soldiers again, and show the passin' the true way. Apostrophe apostrophe, Sammy produced a private tuning fork, black and grimy, which, being about 70 years of age, and wrought before pianoforte builders had sent up the pitch, to make their instruments brilliant, was nearly a note flatter than the parson's. While an argument as to the true pitch was in progress, there came a knocking without. Somebody's at the door. Apostrophe apostrophe, said a little treble girl. Thought I heard a knock before. Apostrophe apostrophe, said the relieved choir. The latch was lifted, and a man asked from the darkness, is Mr. Torkingham here? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, Mills. What do you want? Apostrophe, it was the parson's man. Oh, if you please, apostrophe, said Mills, showing an advanced margin of himself round the door, Lady Constantine wants to see you very particular, sir, and could you call on her after dinner, if you been engaged with poor folks? She's just had a letter, so they say, and it's about that, I believe. Apostrophe apostrophe, finding, on looking at his watch, that it was necessary to start at once, if he meant to see her that night, the parson cut short the practicing, and, naming another night for meeting, he withdrew. All the singers assisted him onto his cob, and watched him till he disappeared over the edge of the bottom. 3. Mr. Torkingham trotted briskly onward to his house, a distance of about a mile, each cottage, as it revealed its half-buried position by its single light, appearing like a one-eyed night creature watching him from an ambush. Leaving his horse at the parsonage, he performed the remainder of the journey on foot, crossing the park towards Welland House by a stile and path, till he struck into the drive near the north door of the mansion. This drive, it may be remarked, was also the common highway to the lower village, and hence Lady Constantine's residence and park, as is occasionally the case with old-fashioned manors, possess none of the exclusiveness found in some aristocratic settlements. The parishioners looked upon the park avenue as their natural thoroughfare, particularly for christenings, weddings, and funerals, which passed the squire's mansion with due considerations, as to the scenic effect of the same from the manor windows. Hence the house of Constantine, when going out from its breakfast, had been Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.